Welcome back to the Outreach Project family. This is Josh.
Run that.
Who are you?
No,
this is Zach.
No, we are joined with. No.
Owen.
We're running that back.
No, we're not.
That was terrible.
We keep it real.
No.
Let's go.
Keep it real.
Welcome back.
Let's go.
So, Owen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Great.
Yeah.
I think Zach's a little picky.
Just,
all
right.
So
Zach just wants
today's
a good
episode is brought to you.
No, it's not brought to you by
anybody. I'm kidding. The last episode we had an outrageous amount of shout outs. That's Zach's fault, but we'll move on.
I had zero shout outs last episode.
My bad, guys. We'll keep it rolling. Owen, who are you?
Owen Tolstedt. An intern here at First Church of God here in the student ministries department. Just started this last, probably within the last month here I've been working. So go to Grace College and seminary. Currently pursuing my undergrad in biblical studies with a minor in biblical languages and going for my master's of divinity. So, yeah.
Is biblical languages like Hebrew and Greek or?
Yep. Yeah, I'm currently taking Hebrew. I took Greek last year. So currently in Hebrew right now. It's not fun right now. So yeah.
What's the pros of learning Greek and Hebrew?
The pros would definitely be you have like a deeper understanding kinda of the scripture really. So like when I've been diving into it, like Logos is like a big like software program that I use usually. So when you click on like a word or something like that, you can go deeper and then you find that it's like, oh, well, this word can mean this and this. And it means so many other things, whereas like our English language is kind of limited. And what it all says, usually Greek and Hebrew has a much deeper meaning and deeper, yeah, just deeper meaning overall that creates almost like a new life to the verse. So those are definitely some of the pros.
Those are original translations.
Mm-hmm. So yep. Yeah, the New Testament was written in Greek and then, you know, Hebrew. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So, yeah, it has been. We have to take, so we usually take like Greek 1 and 2. This time we're taking Hebrew 1, 2, and 3. And then we're going to be taking Hebrew exegesis next session. So at Grace, our semesters are split up into halves. And so next session, so the second half of our semester, we're going to take Hebrew exegesis. And that's really the fun part of when you kind of get to, like, get into the language and say, like, all right, this is what it means. Here's what it really means. Like, I think Tiberius Ratzel will be teaching that class for us. So we have to write, like, a paper, and then you got to preach a sermon about whatever your passage is. So that's really, like, the fun and more interesting part, I think. Right now it's, like, learning all the rules currently in all the irregulars of Hebrew, and yeah, it's every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's kind of like, ugh, 8 a.m. It's like, it's too early for this.
Hebrew at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
It's exhilarating.
Yeah, not quite. This last class period, he was like, you guys want to keep going? I was like, no. I had my face down on the table. I'm like, no, please let us out. So, yeah. So.
Did he keep going?
No, he stopped.
Oh, wow.
He read the room pretty well.
It's so. Tibbs?
No, it's not. Oh. It's Chad Shively, actually. So,
shout out.
Shout out, Chad Shively.
But yeah, we know Owen from serving here in the youth. We've been around him at some groups and whatnot, and we're excited to have you. So thank you for coming on. And
yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is your first podcast ever, you said?
First podcast ever.
Are you honored?
I do feel honored, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how you got here at this church at this very moment. So talk about growing up, how you came to Grace College, what that decision was like. We learned earlier Owen couldn't dance at school. That's interesting. We'll talk. So let's just bring it on. Yeah.
Yeah. So I born and raised in Monroe, Michigan. Lived there my whole life up until I moved out here to Winona Lake, Indiana. So I'm from Monroe, Michigan. So about 40 minutes south of Detroit. And yeah, it was good. My dad, only child. So only kid that they had. So. And my dad's a police officer in Monroe. He's now chief of police out there. He's actually chief of police and fire. So he's like director of public safety, which is pretty cool. And then my mom, she's currently what she does, she's a leasing agent for an apartment complex. So, but she also does a makeup business on the side. At Jennifer Tolstead. Shout out, Jennifer Tolstead. And so, yeah, she does.
I really think someone's going to look that up.
They should.
Definitely.
They should. They should. She's really good at what she does. It's like at Jennifer Tolstead, easy makeup application for women over 45. So, some great content out there. So,
okay.
So, but yeah, so I grew up in a really great home. Never moved. Just lived there my whole life. Yeah. I used to go to St. John Elementary up until fourth grade. So
you transferred?
Yeah, yeah. Transferred out to eventually State Line Christian School is where I went from fifth grade all the way till when I graduated. And yeah, so that was good. Yeah, State Line was a really great school. I did love it. You know, there was definitely some parts that probably weren't my favorite, like some of the dancing. You know,
or lack of it.
Lack of dancing. Yeah, yeah. But it was a really great school. I've had some great mentors from there, you know. So my high school coach, he was kind of like an older brother to me, you know. So I had a lot of great relationships out there. So yeah, so but yeah, it was definitely a different experience. I mean, graduated with a class of 10, so it's got some pros to it, definitely, in terms of class 10. Like, we were able to take a senior trip, which was awesome, went down to Tennessee and that kind of stuff. So there's definitely some pros to
you could take a trip, but you couldn't dance.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess, yeah, going into that, like...
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So, no, we were not allowed to dance. So we had our junior-senior banquet, and so, which was not meant to be a substitute for prom, but all of us students knew it was a substitute for prom. So, and we had that on a Tuesday night, because they didn't want us to go out too late, and we would be in big trouble if we missed school the next day. So
did anyone miss school the next day?
Some kids showed up late, but no one missed. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, no. So we did that. So basically the banquet, now looking back at it, it's more funny. So the banquet consisted of, you had a time where you got, went down and then, basically had your meal and that kind of stuff. You took pictures and that kind of stuff. You could have dates to it, but so
from
you,
from other schools?
Yeah, yeah, you could do that.
Okay.
But they had to abide by our dress code.
What was the dress code?
So State Line was still is an independent fundamental Baptist school. So they're very like skirts, past your knees. I guess the guys didn't really have dress codes really as much. But yeah, so the girls had to like wear their dresses certain ways. That way nothing was showing, you know, covering your shoulders, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, so other dates could come from other schools, but they had to abide by our dress code. They had to actually get it checked by one of the staff, one of our female staff members. So, true story. And so yeah, so you'd go to the banquet, take pictures, go to sit your meal, and then or eat your meal, and then after that, then you would actually have the guest speaker would be someone would get up and preach to you. So, which was always interesting. So, I don't remember any of the messages or what they talked about.
So, was it like a fancy Tuesday night Bible study or something?
Basically.
That seems really extreme.
Yeah. 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 I would agree. Yeah. It was extreme. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then after that, the students, usually we would go out to bowling afterwards. So, we would do bowling. So, that was kind of our fun.
But that's the only fun part of that.
Yeah, you know, so being in that atmosphere at that time, you're like, wow, this is a lot of fun. But now, since I've been out of college and I've done stuff and that kind of stuff, just had more fun in life, I'm like, that wasn't fun at all. That's why I'm telling this now. I'm like, that was lame. So, but yeah, no. But no dancing was allowed at all.
And what if you did dance?
No one even tried it.
You didn't even think about it.
There probably wasn't even music to dance to.
No, there wasn't. I mean, out there, we really weren't allowed to listen to, like, regular music. It used to be a rule that you couldn't go to the movie theater. That was one of the rules. You couldn't go see a movie.
How can the school dictate what you do on your Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the thing. It was almost like, I mean, a lot of people like believed that way out there, but like some kids didn't. So I don't know. I don't know how they really dictated that. But if they found out, you were going to be in trouble.
Did you go to the movie theater?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That rule was kind of like, it was still in their handbook, but they knew at that point nobody was following it. So, but yeah, I'd go to the movie theater.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. What was it? Homecoming 2. We did not have Homecoming King. We only had Homecoming Queen. And our school was so small, I mean, class of 10. So the basketball game was always the big homecoming game. So it would be every grade would get a homecoming representative, seventh through seniors. And then seniors would have three, and then we'd vote on whoever the homecoming queen
is. You had four dudes?
No, there was no dudes.
Oh, so it was a representative that was a female.
Yeah,
it had to be female. It wasn't male. Oh, okay. So you had six female representatives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or six females in your class, and half of them were the representatives.
Or no, we had, in my class, we had six male students, four females.
So one was left out. What? That's like more, that's worse than dancing.
one was left out. I forget.
She would feel horrible.
Who was it that was left out?
Don't know.
I mean, I won't give her a shout out, but now I'm just trying to remember.
Yeah, she never has had
maybe
one.
She deserves one.
No. No, but yeah, I do remember, because like some of the girls are like, hey, we should put her in or whatever. And like the principal was like, no. Like we can't just add someone. So
yeah. Okay.
So
here we go. That seems like
it's different.
That seems kind of legalistic on some of the things, for sure.
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah, that was part of it. Some of the things, like overall, like I said, like I loved the people that I met out there, mm-hmm. the friends that I had. But yeah, that school was very legalistic.
Would you put your kids in it?
No, I wouldn't. And that's not against.
No, I get it.
It's not against the people there. Just, no, I wouldn't. I mean, my mom, she would wear jeans to the games and that kind of stuff. You know, like just normal.
That's frowned upon, bro.
It was. And she would get dirty looks at the games from other parents there. So until I got good at basketball, and then she started to get more accepted. So once I became better at basketball, I think it was about my sophomore year I started starting and that kind of stuff, then the other parents were nicer to her. So either that's abide by the rules or get good at basketball there. So
could you dance after a three?
No, I didn't do too much after scoring. I usually hit him with a Tiger Woods fist pump. So yeah, that was kind of my move. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably like not to hate, it probably wasn't as cool as Tiger.
No, it wasn't. No. I mean, yeah. No, it wasn't. I wish it was, but it wasn't. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of crazy. How did you get to Grace College from there then? And normally from a public school looking at Grace, I look at that and I'm like, wow, that's kind of extreme rules there. You're probably like, wow, I'm living life now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my parents were always cool. In terms of like what I could do in high school, I don't know. Like they always seemed pretty relaxed. I mean, I guess I don't know. We can talk about that a little bit later. But I mean, I know I mentioned earlier how some of the rules that they had, but it wasn't with my parents. It was never legalistic, I guess, which was nice. Always had a relationship more so, which was more important. But yeah, I guess going from Grace then. So about the time I started looking for colleges. Went on tours at Indiana Wesleyan, Hope College, went there. Or no, I didn't go to Hope College, but that was one of the ones I was looking at. Calvin was another one, and Hillsdale. I actually visited there. And so Grace actually kept popping up as an Instagram ad for me. And I really liked the swag that they had. So they had nice Nike gear and that kind of stuff, and that's what I liked. But my parents would be upset if I picked a college based off gear. So I was like, no, I'm not going to look at them. I'm not going to look at them. Not going to look at them. And then finally I'm like, well, let's see what they're all about. So I clicked on them, and then one thing led to another. On the weekend, I went out and visited Indiana Wesleyan, and then the next day we visited Grace. So I went there, and Iwu had really nice facilities and all that kind of stuff. But
were they in Nike school?
Yeah, yeah, they're okay. Nike school. Okay. So, but we didn't even check out the shop. Like, my parents won't even let me check out the shop. So, but yeah, so, but then as soon as I stepped on campus at Grace, it was like, it just felt like home immediately, you know? And it was just like one of those things that like was awesome. So even though like my parents are kind of like, well, you know, some of these other schools have nicer facilities, but I just love Grace. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how I ended up out of Grace. So, and Grace had the blended program, which was basically, you know, I kind of talked about how I'm doing the undergrad and master's together. So usually for an undergrad, it takes about 4 years. Master's and divinity will take about 3 years. With Grace, you can blend them all together and get it all done in 5. Mm-hmm. So that was a big part of the decision too. So, which made it pretty good.
Did the other schools offer that?
No. There was... I'm trying to think if there was. No, that was kind of like Grace was the only one that I had heard of that really did that. And they do it for a lot of other majors too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But no, Grace was about the only one that did that, yeah.
Okay. And then why your major?
Why biblical studies? Because I knew I wanted to go into the field of pastoring. It's kind of the end goal here. So going to pastoring is why. So I guess that story is...
Will your church...
be allowed to go to the movie theater?
Yeah. Like I said, so State Line was a good school, right? But I do not believe the same ways. Like, I know we talked about the legalistic part and that kind of stuff. I'm not that at all. So, my church will be allowed to go to the theater, dance and that kind of stuff. They'll be allowed to have tons of fun. So.
Carry on. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. But going back though, at State Line we had chapel every weekend or every week, Fridays. So we had chapel every Friday, and then we'd always have like fall revival or something like that, you know. So, or like spring revival. We had fall revival and spring revival. And every message that I had probably heard while I was there in terms of these revivals was always about, was God calling you into ministry and say yes. Or it was about, they said it was always about making sure people were born again there or saved. And they said, I'm not here to make you doubt your salvation. But everything they did was to make you doubt your salvation and try to get you saved, resaved again.
Huh.
So it was like those were the only two messages like I felt like I heard there for a little bit. There were some other like good speakers they'd have come in from time to time, but overall those were the main two messages. And so I always joke with people, 1 year they finally got me in terms of to commit to ministry. So it was like this guy had, I don't even remember the message, but he had just spoke about ministry and you feel like someone's calling you. So I had, it was go down front, you know, kneel at the altar, you know, that whole vibe. And so I went down there and I just felt Holy Spirit saying to me, I want you to go help save people spiritually and help save them emotionally. So, and at the time, I didn't really like that because it was about seventh grade, I think, at the time. At the time, I didn't like that because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, but I didn't think it was that. And I thought I wanted to be a cop like my dad. And so I was like, well, maybe I misheard him and it was supposed to be physically, you know, or something like that. So, you know, go save people that way. So, but I knew that wasn't it. And eventually I came around to my senses. So, and that's how I felt the call to go into ministry emotionally, help save people emotionally and spiritually, the biggest one. So, and then after that, we at my high school, we had fine arts. So fine arts was like band solos. Band performances.
And you,
what? I was bass drum. I did, so actually in elementary when we had fine arts, I did do snare drum solos.
Did you have a bass drum solo?
No, I never got one of those. I should have though. I think I should have. I think it would have done good. So, but yeah, no, parade. Like
that would be kind of monotone.
Oh, yeah, no. The most exciting song that I did was elementary. I did Parade of the Clicking Sticks. For snare drum. And so it would just be like dum dum click 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 dum dum click click. I was pretty terrible, if that's not assumed.
Okay.
But yeah, they would have those, but they would also have preaching as one of the categories. So I did that from seventh grade all the way to senior year. And I always, that's where I really find my passion at, is getting up and speaking in front of people. I love doing that. And and I always received like high remarks in there because you have three judges grading you the whole time. So you have three judges and then like an audience.
Really critical. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my bad. Yeah. We had three judges. So yeah. And they were, yeah. Some of them were nicer. Like you could like, they kind of smiled at you and that kind of stuff. Some were like the whole time and it just like stressed you out. So, but yeah. So
if they're kind of every single, you say Fall Spring Revival or kind of speaking night, if they're always either making you doubt salvation or shoving ministry down your throat, did a lot of kids then pursue ministry? Because I feel like at some point you're going to be like,
mm-hmm.
Well, I have to. Like,
yeah.
And it's, yeah. It's I might be going extreme, but that's kind of like brainwashing you guys.
I would say that was probably one of the things that I thought was not good in terms of that, because ministry is not made for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a certain part, and you know, you can't really do your part unless you're made for it. You know, like,
and James even like warns people, hey, not everyone is called to teach.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's contradictory.
So,
yeah.
So I think like it, you know, like they hadn't had a lot of teachers in the field. So in that, then since they didn't have a lot of teachers, they said, well, we need to get people start going, because some people are called for ministry. And they're just like, nope, I don't want to do that. That's not where I want to do. So they just directly go against. So now it's kind of the other side of the road where it's like, all right, everybody's called for ministry. And that's just not truth, because not everybody's made for it. I mean, not everybody's made to do whatever your job is. Like,
I do want to say I strongly believe everyone is called to ministry, just maybe not vocational ministry.
Yeah, vocational, full-time ministry, I guess, is when I say that, that's what I mean, full-time
just
ministry. Like,
clarifying.
Yeah,
We are called to go and make disciples.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
No negotiation there.
Yeah, continue. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, continue. But the element of full-time ministry is not made for everybody, because it can be emotionally taxing and that kind of stuff, and you got to have a certain calling to go into that, right? You know, so it was, I didn't like that. I know that I am called for ministry, and this is something that I am called to pursue with my life. I don't know if there were others. A lot of times too, it could also be either you get too many commits, or it would just be like beating a dead horse, basically. So kids would hear it and go, whatever. You know, this is just same old message.
Was there kind of a defining moment? I know you said like seventh grade, they kept repeating it, and then you joked they finally got you.
Mm-hmm.
But was there like a moment you're like, okay, this is really what I want to do? Was it those kind of sermons that you would give through school and whatnot? Or I guess elaborate more on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess when I kept doing the sermons, that was one thing that was a really strong calling. So I got to preach at that church there about, they would have teen Sundays. So I got to preach there five times. So, which was awesome.
Or total?
Total. Okay. So every year they would always invite me back, because I didn't attend there regularly.
Cool.
So, but yeah, so I'd preach there. I'd give the sermon that I gave in fine arts. And there was so many sermons in there, like, that I just really like loved it. You know, I just love making sermons, because it's kind of like you just get to dive in and just kind of like grow your knowledge. You know things best when you get to teach them, you know, and that's how I felt. One of the sermons I gave was about John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So talking about like the peace of Christ and the understanding and the peace that passeth all understanding. That was one of the sermons that was like, man, I love this. I could preach this sermon over and over again. You know, so that was some of the areas. And then, yeah, I guess also being out at Grace too, working here even for the little time that I have, it's just like, I'm just, you know, just love it, you know, can just feel the calling, you know. I can feel the passion in terms of when I see people like hurting emotionally and they're wondering, why is this keep happening to me, or why do I keep heading down the same road? You know, I just, that's where my heart is, you know, and that's why, you know, I'm so happy I get to do what I do. 'Cause I'm like, I get to help offer you, here's the paths, here's the solutions. You know, it's not just, you know, a lot of times I think sometimes Christianity people think, well, just pray about it, you know, and it's not just that. It's like, pray about it, read your word, you know, but there's other paths, there's other steps in this process to grow and to heal and to get better. So just, it's been kind of like a continual process of almost falling more in love with the calling, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you're still new to it for sure.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah.
That's neat. Yeah. What you got? Yeah.
So did you like grow up going to youth group and stuff too, or how did growing up in church look like for you?
So it was definitely a different experience there too, since I didn't attend the Baptist school that I was attending with. I didn't go there on a regular basis. We used to have a church when I was younger, but a scandal happened out there. One thing had led to another. A new pastor got brought in, just didn't click with us. So we ended up leaving there. But so at State Line, though, they would have youth nights on Friday nights, which were just games and that kind of stuff. So I'd go to those, which is always a blast. I love that.
But otherwise,
it was just kind of a lot of more like self-guided, I guess, in terms of church, you know, for the most part. I think it was, I would watch preachers on TV and that kind of stuff. I'd watch some of them. And then my junior year, or no, it might have been my sophomore year, I want to say. I can't remember for sure. But I started attending my home fellowship, which is really just a home fellowship, which is just my pastor, who's more so like my spiritual mentor, someone who's guided me and helped me, and he's like my dad's spiritual mentor too. So my pastor, my dad, and then two other members were also there too. One of them recently passed away, but so now it's just the four of us then. So on Tuesday nights we gather, we do a little praise and worship, and then we watch a message, or sometimes my pastor will talk about, you know, what we just learned and that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, so that's what church kind of looks like most recently for me. Okay. So it was definitely an irregular type of church experience.
There wasn't like a Sunday morning gathering?
No. So yeah, it would just be very home fellowship, more of a Bible study, but it would be very beneficial in terms of like what we talked about wasn't, I don't know. Like there was a time when I thought like, man, maybe I do want to join like a regular church, you know, or something like that, you know, and kind of kicked around a couple ideas. But at the end of the day, that's where spiritually I was being most filled up at this Tuesday night study. And sometimes when I would go to other places, it felt like, actually our high school leaders were just talking about this, but it felt like milk compared to like having spiritual meat, you know, in terms of Hebrews 4, when it was talking about like some of you need to be grown up more spiritually, you know, but you guys are spiritual infants, you know, talking about that passage. And so, and it felt like sometimes some of those messages wouldn't fill me up as much. But the Tuesday night worship always pushed me more so to discover more about my faith and to know more of what I believe. So
how does this church, because that's so different.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? I guess.
Yeah. It's, I've loved this church. The staff here has been a really like very community aspect, you know, in terms of like, they ask how you're doing, you know, it's like, it's very nice in that way. And just kind of being exposed to church structure for the first time and like church culture more so, this has probably been one of the best experiences that I think I could ask for, you know, because I mean I guess in terms of other church as opposed to the one I went to at high school, like one of the times I actually got to go speak at Teen Sundays, some lady just like walked up to us and she's like, who are you? I'm like, I'm one of the speakers tonight. They're like, oh, okay. Usually pastor says that our teen speakers aren't that good, but, you know, hopefully you're better. I'm like, thanks. So, you know, so.
No pressure.
It was, yeah, it was kind of like very judgy, you know, and this one has been very welcoming and very family atmosphere. So it's been awesome. I've really enjoyed it. So.
Yeah. How, cause you, I guess you never had like a worship service like Sunday mornings or like teaching. How do you, how has that been filling you up and enjoying that?
Oh yeah, I think worship has been one recently, kind of just in this stage of my life, it just been really been leaning into that a lot more, and I've just really been enjoying that. Like Grace does chapel three times a week, and the messages there, hopefully none of my Grace family watches this, but the messages there are not my favorite, but the praise and worship time is awesome out there, and I've really enjoyed that. Praise and worship here at First Church is just like first class. Like out of all the churches that I went to in the area when I was kind of first jumping around, this has been the best, you know. So praise and worship has just been really filling for me, I guess, you know, like in a way I haven't experienced, just more leaning in and trusting on God. So yeah, it's been really awesome. I've really enjoyed that.
And you haven't, I guess, experienced a senior pastor since you've been here, no?
I was here at the end of the last senior pastor.
Okay.
So but, I was here at the tail end, basically, of when he was getting ready to leave. And I really enjoyed him. I really liked him.
Yeah. But you've been kind of thrown for a loop in terms of structure and
Yeah. Some of that's kind of been interesting.
Yeah. Which
it's been, I mean, that's been kind of like one of the benefits is stepping in at this time, getting to see all this transition period that's happening. And then after this year, we'll kind of go back to what would be calm, I guess, you know, in terms of, you know, because right now we're looking for student ministries, pastor too, you know, so it's been like a good transition period to get behind the scenes and see a little bit of that has been pretty interesting. I really like that too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so.
And your form or your future teacher is preaching a little bit here, huh? What's Tiberius?
Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah. He's a awesome teacher, awesome preacher too. He's got, you know, an awesome story. I know you guys have had him on before. Yeah. He's just such a good guy, you know, really cares about his students too. You know, at any college you go to, you get some professors who are just like, do this, you know, but he's really someone who, you know, assigns the work, assigns like a good workload for you, but he really does care about you.
Does he crack jokes?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's hilarious. Yeah. His best one that he tells is he'll be like, my personal opinion on this matter or whatever is da 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 da. And then he's like, I could be wrong. I was wrong 3 years ago. And then everyone laughs and he goes, I kid. It was 4. So that's always my favorite joke. So yeah. So he's awesome.
Dang. Yeah. He should have his little stand up session.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You should do like a little, like going away stand up.
Yeah.
Like a Saturday night though, like.
A Saturday night.
Or a third service.
Third service. Third
with
service.
A lunch.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. There we go.
We'll set it up with some comedy.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do in the meeting tomorrow. I don't have much pull, but I'll see what I can do.
Just throw that idea out there for us. Like,
what if we do this?
What if for Tiberius is going away party?
Oh, is he?
Just have him.
We don't even know. He's probably not having a going away party.
No, we're having one. Last Sunday, third service, Carrion.
Boom.
Tiberius on Tiberius the mic. Tell on the jokes. Mic.
Just let him go.
Legendary.
Yeah.
And then open mic from there.
No?
Would you go?
No. If it was open mic, I'd leave after the open mic part.
Who? No, never mind. Owen, what's your favorite movie?
Oh, favorite movie has got to be The Godfather.
What's your favorite color?
Probably red.
Food.
Steak.
Song.
Oof. Now, that's a tough one. I mean, it's tough to choose a favorite song. I mean, because there's like country, Christian worship, you know.
You're not at your old school. You can answer.
Yeah. Thing is, they only did old hymns. So even then. I would say country song. The one I've been really vibing with is Joe by Luke Combs. I wouldn't say that's my all-time favorite, but I guess right now at this moment. So like that song. And Praise and Worship, I've really been digging Trust in God by Elevation Worship. It's a good one.
What's your favorite smell?
Scent.
Yeah, but scent can be confusing because people could think like penny, nickel, dime. So I wanted to.
Mine's a quarter, in case you're wondering.
Favorite. Yeah, I wouldn't have taken it that way if you had said scent. I would have been like, quarter is my favorite.
Nobody takes it that way, just so like, you know.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Scent, probably mix of little gasoline and fresh cut grass. Cutting the lawn back home.
A little, just all you gotta say is like 4th of July, and that's
That's not gasoline and grass.
Dude, I mean, absolutely.
On the 4th of July, before
like
everyone
Saturday
gets there.
Before morning everyone, lawn mowing.
Yeah, before everyone gets
Saturday
there.
Saturday afternoon.
You rip that lawnmower, fire up the grill. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Start up the boat. Turn on the Joe.
I don't.
Oh, yeah. I can smell it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite article of clothing?
What? Probably. I like a good shirt. I like a good flannel. You know.
Favorite sport?
Basketball.
Favorite team?
For college, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and then for professional, Detroit Lions fans. Chicago Bulls guy too.
That doesn't add
that,
up.
No,
that doesn't add up, Owen.
No. Well, okay. So my
you
mom.
Gotta pick a state, bro.
No, I won't. So my mom grew up.
Sounds like you're just hopping off the Pistons. You're already writing them off.
Yeah, they're going to be terrible forever.
What are you talking about?
They won't get good anytime soon.
That's okay. That's crazy. That's fair. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No. But so my mom's from the Chicago area, actually. So she grew up watching. She got to go to like see Michael Jordan play and that kind of stuff. So my grandparents are big Bulls fans. So, and they tried to make me a Bears fan too, but I ended up more so Lions. So.
Because you just go for the better team?
Yeah, basically.
That's not true fanhood, Owen.
Well, I'm 40 minutes south of Detroit, so.
The Pistons are in Detroit.
Yeah, but no one wants to see the Pistons.
Guys!
They have a good future ahead of them. You heard it here first. Give them 3 years to make the playoffs.
No.
We'll just come back to this moment. I'm serious.
3 years.
Clip it.
Clip it. Editor, clip it. I'm just kidding. We don't have an editor. You guys know that, though. You listen to this.
What's going on?
Favorite beverage?
Diet Mountain Dew.
That's disgusting.
Why Diet Mountain Dew?
Because, I don't know, diet's better. Diet's better than regular. That's just a fact, man.
Okay, that's absurd. Okay. Favorite restaurant?
I don't know if I want to say. You guys can be like, that's a terrible take.
No, we'll listen.
I don't know. Favorite restaurant? Man, I can't think of any right now. I mean, I guess probably for fast food, Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A would be.
It's fair.
Solid answer, yeah.
Fair.
I've grown to love Culver's a lot more since I've been out in Indiana. We didn't have one in my hometown for a while. And then I came out here, and it's like Culver's on every corner out here. So that's what it feels like, at least. So, but I've...
Yeah.
I like Culver's after church. Sometimes I'll stop in there, get a little burger on. So, Jimmy John's has been a good one after work, too. Just swing by the Jimmy John's, mobile order. So, big Dunkin' guy, too. I love Dunkin'.
You're just spitting them off.
Yeah, I'm just.
Couldn't think of it, and now he's named like 14.
Thought we weren't going to come at my
If days. You could do one Olympic sport, what would it be?
Swimming. I wish I could do that.
Can
I don't
not
know
swim?
How. No, I can't swim. I can't. So I wish I could. I always thought the swimming event was most exciting.
Swimming is pretty
Phelps
exciting.
Is the goat.
So, yeah.
And we grew up on him.
I grew up on him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I always wanted to be like him. Plus, they're like Jack, too.
Oh, yeah.
They've got like great. Like. They're great.
<You're> great. We're gonna cut you off. Yeah.
That's a good call.
What do you like to do for fun?
Like to weightlift and that kind of stuff. I'll do that. Basketball is another one. I like to play basketball. I'll do that. I play on our JV squad out at Grace, which is a lot of fun. So I'll do basketball, lifting, and then usually just hanging out with buddies. Usually we've been doing poker nights recently, which is a lot of fun. We don't gamble, Grace College. So we're not allowed to gamble there at Grace.
You don't start real money?
No. So what we'll do is the first one who loses, he has to buy the drinks for next time. And then after that, we just usually like find, it's almost like white elephant poker. So we'll just find whatever is in our room. Like I gave away some crappy Delta Flight earbuds and someone won those last time. So it's kind of like that.
I mean, that's cool, but you just need to do money and not tell anyone.
Yeah, never I guess we could, but I guess it's too late for that now.
You know, I said that. I'm like, yeah, that's not what I should say.
We could do that, but
or not,
or just not do it.
You sports bet?
No. My buddy tried to get me into it, but I do not.
So. Your buddy's at Grace?
Yep.
That's not allowed.
Oh shoot! Exposed.
Call the president. Call the president.
Call might Tiberius.
Have to cut that part. Might have to cut that right there. Oh, man.
That is awesome.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
But, yeah, something to do, so. But, yeah, it's all good fun.
Does Anthony?
I don't know. I don't know if he does.
Anyways. What's your favorite book in the Bible and why?
Probably be John. Just cause, love the gospel stories.
Classic.
Yeah. And John, just a classic, just it's different than the other gospels. You know, you can tell like, you know, the other three are I think called the synoptic gospels. So they're all like same, similar format and structure. And John just like a little bit different. So, but yeah, if I probably had to pick one, I mean, usually that's, if I had to tell someone who's a new believer, where should I start at? I would say John, you know? So it just, yeah, that would probably be it for me.
Okay. Yeah. And your favorite Bible verse?
Doesn't
have to be in John.
Yeah. Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Lord hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, stable mind. And that's one that, I resonate a lot with, because I used to struggle with fear immensely. Like I was always like the person you see now is not the same as what I used to be when I was a lot younger. I used to be like concerned about everything. I used to be living in like constant fear kind of. And that's probably like one of the areas I'm most passionate about talking about is the issues of fear and worry and what effect it has on our lives and how we can change it and walk in faith and walk in the way that Jesus would have us to walk. So, but yeah, so that one would be my favorite. So yeah, but where I was and now where I am, two different people.
Why?
So.
And I could really infer on this. I'm not doubting you. I just want you to explain more. Why don't you live in fear anymore?
I've come to a lot more confidence in who I am in Jesus. That would be the biggest one. And in turn, that affects all the other areas of my life in terms of confidence of who I am just as a guy, as a person, as a friend, as a son, you know, all these other roles, you know. So getting right with Jesus, you know, one of the things I like to say is getting right with Jesus fixes all the others. Relationships, you know, in terms of relationships with yourself, relationships with your friends, all these other things, you know, you get the vertical right, you'll get the horizontal right too. So yeah, so that's probably why, you know, like I feel like I've changed in that area. I still definitely struggle with it. I'll get not like bad cases of anxiety, but there will be certain things where I'm like I'll just get super anxious about for no reason, you know. And it will just be like multiple things from basketball to test taking, you know, like I just had my Hebrew midterm and man, going into it, I was stressing like and big time.
I could see probably why. Yeah. That's
yeah. So Hebrew midterm. Yeah, I was stressing. And then my dad was like, well, have you prayed about it? I'm like, no. So, but I did. And then it just felt like really this peace came over me and rested on me that I didn't get it, you know? And there was a couple other decisions recently in my life that I was like, I don't feel great about it, but I know it's the right decision because I got this peace on me, you know? And I guess that's kind of like my other favorite verse, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, not my, not the peace that the world gives you. So not this up and down, like, oh, when it's good, when it's bad, it's bad, you know? But Jesus is consistent right here, always peaceful, always joyful, so.
Yeah, and I've found myself having a lot of peace when I'm rooted in the word daily. And I get to the mindset of what nothing else actually matters in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Like we're like when Christ returns, no one's going to care about what I wore today, something stupid I said, how I performed.
Right.
Whatever, who I hung out with, none of that. How many followers you have. Just
That's been one of the other things too is when I really step back and look and I'm like, that was not a big deal at all. I don't know why I was stressing over that or worrying about that. Like, that's not a big deal. And that's been part of the change too for me. It's been realizing that that wasn't a big deal. Because as soon as it's done, I almost forget about it. And I kind of had this mentality of forgetting about it and already looking for the next thing. You know, so being realizing more, I'm like, dude, that didn't even matter. So why are you going to stress about this next thing? Because you know in the long term, it's not going to matter. Mm-hmm. So that's been another thing, too, that's helped me in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. You got a question?
No.
How many of these episodes have you watched, Owen?
I got about halfway through that one episode I was telling you guys with
perfect.
Yeah.
So you aren't prepared. I love it.
Oh, okay.
It's a make or break question.
This is the most vital question, probably not to make you scared or anything.
Right.
But we're gonna draw it out a little bit.
This is the most vital question, and it really does tell all of our listeners and viewers who you are, and they could probably judge you really hard. My bad. I'm sorry. What is...
I'll take... What is your dream vacation?
What is my dream vacation?
Hello, look. There's no limits to this.
There's no limits?
No limits, but we need to know... Where are you going? Who are you taking?
Does everyone have to say the same answer in your mind?
No.
This is
a
not,
make or break question.
No, it's not. So. We're messing. I promise. But we need to know where you're going, who you're taking, and what you're doing.
Mm. Dream vacation.
We're totally messing with you. It's a lighthearted question, but I do think it does kind of share a lot about personality.
Yeah,
for
it
sure.
does. It does.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I guess for me, my personality is like to go, you know, but probably on vacation, that's when I want to go and just chill kind of. So if I had to choose like, I don't know, like somewhere out in like Wyoming area or something like that. Somewhere where I have a cabin and I have a stream and I can get my guns and I can shoot something if I want, an animal. You know, or do something like go hunting or something like that, something I wouldn't normally do. Somewhere I can just relax.
A nice stream to fish in?
Yes. Or just even to sit by and have coffee by and just relax. That sounds awesome to me. And
maybe some wild cattle.
Yeah, that would be nice. That'd be a nice touch. Like you guys watch Yellowstone, show?
No, the premise, but
I love that
but
show.
If you can't dance, how can you watch Yellowstone?
So, like I said, I don't believe my mouth.
He's allowed to dance now.
I'm allowed to do a lot more than I was there.
Dancing is not a sin.
Yeah, no, it's I never claimed that.
No, I know. I'm just
clarifying. For your viewers, I never claimed that.
No, I know. And beforehand we asked off camera, like, why couldn't you dance? And you're like, well, they thought it was a sin.
Yeah, they did. They did think it was a sin. It's not, because it's in the Bible. And that's like legalistic. David was
dancing.
Like, and I would dancing
argue,
hard.
Like, I would party. Even argue maybe pushing that on you is false teaching. But anyways.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can get behind that.
Anyways. Dream vacation.
Wyoming.
Not necessarily Wyoming in particular, but somewhere, I guess the main emphasis would be, you know what? Austria. Austria would be my dream vacation. I guess that's a big change.
What's in Austria?
We jumped from Wyoming to Austria.
I don't know where Austria is.
It's right under Germany.
That's a skill issue by you.
But, sorry.
So Austria is right by Germany. So you know the Sound of Music? Are you looking up Austria?
I'm showing him where Austria is.
Okay. Have you guys seen the Sound of Music though?
I've never seen it, but I know what it is.
Okay. So that was shot in Austria and I loved it. I love the scenery. And then there was another show that I watched, Band of Brothers. Not sure if you guys know that one. That one's good too. And all the soldiers there always talked about the beautifulness of Austria. So, and it's like a lot of streams, a lot of mountains. Somewhere with streams and mountains, I guess, would be my dream vacation. Somewhere where I can just relax, sit, have coffee, and be around whoever I bring with, I guess. So.
Who are you bringing?
I mean, right now, just my parents. It's all people I know. So, they're my closest people. Relationship people. So
that's fine.
Yeah. So probably once I'm married, my wife, obviously. So
maybe this hypothetical, you'll be married. You can bring your wife.
Right. Yeah. It's a dream, right? So
I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess my wife's there too. Nice.
All right. Well, Owen, do you have any concluding thoughts, words of wisdom to leave us off on? You don't have to.
Yeah, this has been an awesome experience. I've enjoyed getting to tell a little bit about my story, where I came from. I know it's a little bit different than most people. But
yeah, seriously, thank you for sharing and opening up and coming on here and just being willing to do this.
Yeah. I think everybody's got a different story of how, especially in the walk of faith, everybody's got a different story, but everybody's got interesting parts that, you know, you may not know just looking at them, like, oh, you can put them in a box or something like that. But it's like, no, I had some other stuff going on. I had this going on. So everybody's got a different part of their story. So, and I think that's what makes the body of Christ really interesting, is that everybody's got something that brought them to the faith and why they're doing what they're doing now. So I really enjoy getting to tell at least my side of it. So,
yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. With that being said, next week, stay tuned. We have an absolute banger coming for you. And yeah, just be on the lookout, notifications on, hit the subscribe button. Stop. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm just messing with Zach. But seriously, thank you all for supporting us, and reaching out and just showing us your love every time you guys listen. Your texts to us mean a lot, and your feedback means a lot. We say it every time, but if you have suggestions, even constructive criticism, or even ideas on questions or segments or guests, please reach out, and we love to hear it. Even if you're like, hey, I don't have anything to suggest, but we enjoy it, or we don't enjoy it, reach out. I mean, I'm not sure if everyone does, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And then Owen and all of us, our last guest will be Reese, but the one before that was Aaron, a pastor of a different church here in town. And ultimately, I mean, the goal of building community isn't just in this one building of First Church of God. So hopefully we can expand the walls, because that's really not God's idea of the church, right? Not even denominations, not different schools,
right? Yeah.
We're all one family here. Really, we all have the same purpose, same end goal. Go out, make disciples, love the Lord. Ultimately we'll all be in heaven if we are saved. And so, I guess with that being said, if you know someone out there that's not from First Church, a different church, a community member, whatever, shoot us their name. Come talk to us. Have them reach out. Whatever. Let's grow this thing, really. Yeah. Because we're not going to do it just inside this one building. We're not here to be exclusive. But yeah, thank you all for watching or listening, for your support. And we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.